All right. Guys, I'm a little messed up. Come on, that was awesome. That was awesome. Wow, man, I'm telling you, if you aren't hopping with the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit already, I think you're dead. Come on. He's about to bring you back to life. First, I want to thank you guys. What a lot of you don't know, because I'm always smiling and bopping around and high-fiving everybody, is that when my family came here 3 years ago, we were really coming out of the most traumatic time we've ever had in our lives. And I was just, man, the Holy Spirit hit me with this while we were in that worship song. His arms are strong enough to carry me. Many of you guys in this room were the arms of Jesus that carried us through the hardest time of our life, the most traumatic time of our life. And over the past 3 years, you have changed our life. And I hope you guys understand how good you guys have it with your staff, with your leadership. I want to honor Nick and Jeremy and Pastor Dennis and everyone who serves the staff of this church, because they're rare. They are so rare. I've been all over and been on staffs and churches, been in full-time ministry for a little bit now, a little over 20 years. And let me tell you something, they are rare. They're amazing. That worship team is rare. My goodness. Not just because of talent. Dalton, where are you at? Good night. I mean, I don't play music, but Kristen does. I don't think you get how good that dude is. When he started to solo for just a little bit, oh man, I was catching the spirit, bro. He hates this right now, but I was like, just turn him loose, turn him loose. I mean, man alive. You guys, I'll stop there. I just wanted to say thank you. We love you so much. And yes, I have an amazing wife and 5 kids. We met in Bible college and we got married after our sophomore year. Ring by spring or your money back is what they say in Bible college. And it worked for me. I'm so blessed. I say all the time that if all I ever got from my 4 years of ministry school was my wife, Kristen Arches, it would have been more than enough. She is awesome. That's the greatest thing we got. And I got a picture of us. All of our, look at those. Look at these guys. Look at these guys. Leave that up there for a second. So our oldest is Vivian there in the pink. And then our next in line is Zuri there with the dark shirt on. And and then Nora with that smile with the blue. And then Theo and then little Tavi in the back. And I want to give this word to you guys. Leave that up there for a second, because for 11 years, we could not have kids. We thought we were never going to have kids, and we were actually okay with it because we were so happy with each other and so happy with Jesus that we felt like we really didn't. There was nothing we were lacking to complete us. I still feel like me and Kristen are just two crazy kids in love. I really do. And we weren't worried about it. And on the eve of a missions trip, I was leading a young missions trip, young adults and teens missions trip. And right before it, Kristen had a dream. And in the dream, we had 5 kids. Wow. It's a true story. And she woke me up in the middle of the night and said, I had a dream and we had 5 kids. And I said, well, baby girl, faith without works is dead. TMI, TMI, okay? Hey, come on. We all know how it's done here, all right? It's biblical. I had to embarrass her at least once. So, but after that, so I left for this mission trip and she stayed home. She couldn't come on this one. I leave for this mission trip and man, I will never forget this. We were on our way back home and we were in Louisville, Kentucky at this little church. I didn't know this church. I didn't know this pastor. I knew no one there. And we stop at this little church for this small young adult meeting. And this guy looks at me and he says, I'm about to do something that I teach everyone not to do. He said, young man, the Spirit of the Lord is telling me that this time next year, your wife is gonna be pregnant. And I started crying. And then he said, he saw it hit me. And so he said, wow, does that make sense? Or was that bad pizza? Is what he said. I said, bro, we can't have kids. And he says, oh man, I need to pray. And sure enough, the Lord brought it to pass. Five beautiful children. And we give all the glory to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Come on, somebody. Yes, you can praise him. He gets all the praise for it. But let me tell you, I have shared that story with a bunch of people at play places, at parks, when they see my kids running around, and led many people to Jesus Christ through that story. So what I'm wondering is, as I share that with all of you, is what's your testimony? What's your God's story, okay, that God has done for you that's unique and special? Because when God does something awesome for you, he wants you to do something awesome with it. I'm gonna say that again. Whenever God does something awesome for you, in you, for you, he wants you to do something awesome with it. He doesn't want you to put it on a shelf and just remember it every once in a while. If he has saved you for something radical, he wants you to go tell everyone you can about how he radically saved you. It's not just for you. He wants you to do something awesome with it. And so I try my best to tell everyone I can that story of these five kids. And my life is nuts with five kids. Their ages are 9, 8, 7, 5, and 3. Come on, somebody, I need the Holy Spirit. Every day I need the Holy Spirit. Yes, I do. Okay, our life is crazy. Guys, I've been to every single play place, park, kid place in the greater Kansas City area. It's true. My wife whips out her wallet and she's got all these cards in it. And people are like, wow, y'all got a bunch of credit card. Are you guys in credit card debt? No, they're all cards from play places. I'm like, no, this one here, it's a platinum Chuck E. Cheese card. But don't sleep on it, bro, because I walk in there, they know who I am. I can get you a stuffy on this card right now. Let's go, jump in the car. My life is crazy. I need the Holy Spirit. I need the Holy Spirit, and so do we. So I know we've already prayed this morning, but would you put your palms out? Because I heard the Holy Spirit saying something to me before I got up this morning, that there's some people in this house that are hungry for the Holy Spirit. I heard the Spirit of the Lord saying, you're talking to a room full of hungry people. Are you hungry to experience the presence and the power of the Spirit of God? Maybe like you haven't in a long time. Maybe like you never had before in your life. I'm serious right now. Are you hungry? Do you need the Holy Spirit? Not just want the Holy Spirit, do you need the Holy Spirit? Are you hungry for the Holy Spirit? Let's welcome him. Holy Spirit, we need you. We're hungry for you. We can't do anything of worth without you. So Holy Spirit, I ask that right now, every palm up, every hand out that is saying, I'm hungry for you. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would touch them in a new, in a powerful, in a special way. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that the sick would be healed, that the dead would be raised, that your power and your presence would be tangible, undeniable, that it would rock and wreck their hearts right now in your name, in your authority, and your power, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Go ahead and give us, yeah, you can clap for him, that's fine. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, so Dennis asked me today to share a little bit about how I share the gospel. Okay, so I direct a ministry called Sounding Heaven. Sounding Heaven. And if you are bored one day and you want to check out the website, you can go to www.soundingheaven.co. Okay? soundingheaven.co. Don't expect much and you'll love it. All right. But I direct a ministry called Sounding Heaven. And what we do is we launch what we call miracle hunting networks. Miracle hunting networks. These are groups of people that go out and they partner with the Holy Spirit to do what Jesus wants them to do wherever they are. And they're looking for God to do something miraculous. And they share the gospel. That's what we do. And so over the past couple of years, the Lord's been faithful, he's been awesome, and we've been able to launch networks all over the place. And so I want today to give you a quick crash course on what we train, what we teach when we send people out to go miracle hunting. What do you say?
Yeah.
Yeah? All right. Step one, unleash heaven. Ooh, I just love saying that. I just love saying that. Has anybody ever seen the movie Gladiator?
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay. So there's that scene in Gladiator where they're on the eve of this battle and they can see the lines laid out, and it's and this Russell Crowe is on this horse and he says, "On my signal, unleash hell." So what we do is we say, Jesus has given the signal, unleash heaven.
There it is.
There are people you encounter all over the place that need an outbreak of heaven into their lives. And God has made you an ambassador. If you're saved, if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, he has sent you out to go unleash heaven. Matthew chapter 4:17 says this. From then on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent of your sins and turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near." From then on, he began to preach, "Repent of your sins and turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near." Now, here's the deal. That word near there is a really cool word because it doesn't mean like something is far off. You're almost to it, okay? It doesn't mean like you're getting closer to it. What it actually means is that this something has come into your presence. That something has come into your midst. It's a joining together word. That something has come in to where you are and been joined together. And that's what Jesus was saying. He's like, hey, heaven is right here. It's come into your midst. And when you guys are going out to share the gospel with people, you're not going out to try and change somebody's mind. You're not going out to try and help them become a better person. What's happening is heaven is coming near to the lost. Heaven is being brought into the midst of wherever you are. Heaven is being unleashed. That's what's happening. So the first thing we do is this, we pray, okay? We pray and we endeavor to demonstrate the unleashing of heaven on earth. I'll give you a really awesome example. You guys want to hear a cool story?
Yeah.
I love cool stories. Okay, someone does. Come on, thank you, Jesus. Just recently, we were on a miracle hunting trip. We call them expeditions. So we were on a miracle hunting trip in Nashville, Tennessee. And in Nashville, Tennessee, if you've never been there and seen it, it's pretty wild. There is this massive gold statue of Athena. So they built this like scale model of the Parthenon, and then they've put this huge like scale model of Athena in it. It's creepy, to be honest with you. But it's there in the middle of Nashville. And so I was there on this expedition and we were like, let's go to this place and share the gospel. So if I'm going into a place, I am going to unleash heaven, right? So I go and I step up to this Parthenon, and the guys that were with me, they were like, we want to go and we want to do some spiritual warfare. We want to go and we want to surround the statue and pray and break down strongholds and do all these things. And that's fine, but that's not me. What I'm typically about is I'm going to go in there, and in the name of Jesus Christ, lay hands on somebody and they're going to be healed. In the name of Jesus Christ, I'm going to walk in and demons are going to get scared and they're going to run from my face. Because I'm coming in to unleash heaven, right? So I walk in to this gift shop. And there's this young man, young adult standing there. And I walk up and say, hey, bro, what's up, man? What's your name? Tells me his name. And I was like, listen, I want to pray for a miracle for you right now. Do you need a miracle? And he looks at me. And he said, I guess, but I'm not a believer. I said, oh, you don't believe in Jesus? No, I don't. You don't believe in miracles? No, I don't. Well, then you've got nothing to fear. You don't believe it's going to work? Ah, you're all good, right? Just tell me what you need. And he says, I'm a club soccer player, semi-pro soccer player, and I broke my ankle. I look down and yep, he's got like a boot on. He's like, I can't walk, can't play. I'm gonna have to sit out the whole season. And so I said, you know what? Jesus can heal that ankle right now. Yes. And he kind of was like, Pfft. And I said, well, can I try? Can I pray? So he says, sure. So right there in this gift shop, I kneel down, I put my hands on his ankle, and then I just pray, Lord Jesus Christ, I know you love this young man so much. Would you prove to him that you have power over sin and death and that you're the King who gives us eternal life by healing this ankle 100% right now? Would you heal it right now? Something happens. I stand up, something happens, and this dude looks at me. And he's like, what'd you do? I said, you saw what I did. All I did was touch your ankle and pray. And he goes, no, I felt something in my ankle. And I said, oh, you're gonna have to get saved now. He's marked you, bro. So I said, really? He said, yeah, and the pain's gone. And I said, well, will you be brave and do something for me? Will you hop on it? And he said, no. I can't hop on it, man, if I mess something else up. And I said, I think Jesus healed it. Will you hop on it? He's like, ah, come on, man. You don't believe anyways. You got nothing to fear. So finally he goes, all right. Stands on it, and he's automatically noticing, holy smokes, it feels normal. So then I'm like, come on, dude, hop on it. Totally normal.
Hallelujah.
He says, he looks at me, he's like, the pain's gone. Yeah. It feels completely normal. I'm like, take that boot off. He takes his stuff off. I was like, do some high knees. I don't know, something you do. He starts doing some stuff. He's laughing. He's like, are you kidding me? I said, no, man, I'm not kidding you. I said, listen, Jesus is alive. He's real. It's not a joke. He just healed your ankle. Bro, you got to give him your life. And he's like, absolutely. So I led him in salvation right there, and we prayed. So, and here's what was cool about that one, guys. Why it's such a demonstration of unleashing heaven is because we were standing right underneath this cultic statue of Athena. What is up, somebody? Jesus won, Athena zero, baby. He's the King. You're just a statue. Just sit there and be quiet while I work. It was awesome. Okay. So when you go to share the gospel, somebody, listen, Jesus is really with you. He's really with you. And he wants to heal people. He wants to do miracles. He wants to do that. Just believe him for it. So pray, show. Okay. The second is share. Okay. Share the gospel. You know, the gospel really is the power of God. It really is. The gospel really is the power of God. Share the gospel. Okay, so Romans chapter 3, verse 23. Everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. We've all sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. So I'm going to walk you through what I will do with somebody. Here's what I say, okay? I walk up to them and say, hey, my man, I don't know you, or sis, whatever. I don't know you, I've never met you, but I know I have at least this one thing in common with you. You ready? We don't even look like each other or whatever, but I know I've got this one thing in common with you. And people will be interested, like, what is that? What is that? And I'll say, man, I'm messed up. I've done some things in my past that I wish I could take back. I've done some bad stuff. I've hurt myself. I've hurt other people. And I look back and go, why did I do that? I've messed up. That's what the gospel is saying. Everyone has sinned and they've fallen short of the glory of God. So here's what you have in common with every single person out there that you're nervous to share the gospel with. They're jacked up too. They get it because they've messed up too. Every single person on the planet. There's one mantra that I can go anywhere all over the world and people will pretty much shake their head and go, yeah, that's true. And it's nobody is perfect. Nobody's perfect. Okay? So that's step one. Boom. Next is Romans chapter 6, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Here's how I'll say that. So they've already agreed. Yeah, nobody's perfect. Yep, I've messed up. Okay. Now here's the thing. Do you ever stop to wonder why you recognize that you're not perfect? Very few people really go down this path in life. People will say nobody's perfect, but hardly anybody really ever questions, why does nobody perfect? Why is it pretty much universally accepted that we've all messed up? Why should we know that we've messed up? And here's what I'll tell them. It's because there really is a God who really made you in his image. And he is perfect. He's perfect love. He's perfectly just. He's perfectly true. He's perfect. And you're made, he's your dad. He made you like him. So when you do things that are not like your dad, when you do things that aren't like him, when you lie, when you cheat, when you hurt other people, when you do messy, bad things, it doesn't fit you. It's not in the image you were made in. The reason you recognize that you're not perfect is because you actually were made by a perfect God. And when you do things that aren't like that, it doesn't make sense. There's something inside of you that goes, ah, that doesn't feel right. Have you ever done something really, really bad? Like put on a Denver Broncos jersey? And you, oh, it just doesn't feel right? Gross, right? Where's my guy? My Bronco, yeah, there he is. But have you ever done something really bad though, and you look back and go, oh, who was that guy? I have. I've done something so stupid, so bad, and I look back and go, who was that guy? It's like you don't even know who it was. And I share that with people and say, the reason you don't even know who it is because it's not you. That's not the image you're made in. Okay? The wages of sin is that. It's death. It's that you now have this thing that's like clinging to you that doesn't belong. But the gift of God through Jesus Christ is eternal life. So then here's what I say. Okay, but we have a problem because we've already admitted we're not perfect. So we can't forgive perfectly. If we're not perfect, we can't forgive ourselves perfectly. We can't forgive other people perfectly. I know I don't forgive perfectly myself, sometimes others. Okay, others. We can't do it because we're not perfect. So we have a problem. And that's who Jesus is. You ready for this? Then you share with them, guys, God sent Jesus Christ from heaven down here to earth to forgive us perfectly, to do what we could not do for ourselves. And I'm telling you, you'll be shocked by how many people that really vibes with. They go, oh, hot dog, that makes sense. That makes sense. Because the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. He's given Jesus as a gift for us so that we can be perfectly forgiven. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says this. God showed us his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. Then you say this. And you know what God did? Because God is so awesome. God sent Jesus to forgive us, not when we were in a place where we were just really looking for him and ready and excited. God sent Jesus to forgive us when we got our hand caught in the cookie jar. God sent Jesus to forgive us when we were sinning. While we were spitting in his eye, God came down from heaven to die for us to perfectly forgive us. That's how awesome God is. While you were doing these imperfect things that don't match the image of God that he made you in, that's when he came to you. Bro, sis, he loves you so much. He loves you so much. Then the last one, Romans chapter 10, verse 9. Then you say this. So what I will do is if they've gotten that far in their track and they're like, you know what? That makes sense. Here's what I'll say. I'll simply say, do you want that? Do you want that right now? Here's the mistake a lot of people make when they're sharing the gospel, is they'll get that far. Maybe Jesus has even healed somebody and this person has been tracking all the way down. They'll get that far and then they'll get so excited that someone's actually listening to them that they'll walk away. I've done it before. You get that far and it's like, oh man, I plant a good seed. I told them that Jesus is the way, you know? And then you just say, hey man, God bless you. Hopefully I'll see you later. And then you walk off. Because you're so hyped. You're like, oh, I did it. Okay. Why not give them an opportunity to experience it? Right there. The worst they can say is no. So I asked them, I said, do you want that? Do you want that right now? Do you want perfect forgiveness right now? Do you want that? Because I would love to pray with you right now to receive it. And you will be shocked how many people will say yes. Because the gospel is the power of God. If you just share it, I'm telling you, you're gonna be shocked with how many people who will say yes. So then you say this. When they say yes, you say, Romans 10, 9, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Here's how I say it with them. This just happened the other day at Dollar General. Is she here? Oh, that'd be awesome. But Dollar General on Colburn Road out by Lake Lotawanna where I lived. We got through all of this. She said yes. So I said, let's pray right here. So this is what I say. I said, God says that there is power in saying it out loud. There's something powerful, something that clicks, something that happens when it actually comes out of you, when you confess it out of your mouth. So I said, God says there's power when you say it out loud. So sis, will you grab my hands and pray right now? Now she was working behind the counter. You know, there's another guy in line behind me. But who cares? Do you see what I'm saying? Sometimes we can get in those situations and be like, oh, it's gonna be awkward, this guy behind me. You really wanna say that to Jesus when you get into heaven? I got all the way down there, she said, yes, Lord, but it was awkward. No, you don't. Plus, who knows, maybe that guy gets saved too. Yeah, oh, it would've been awesome, but that didn't happen. But, so anyway, so I say, hey, will you say it out loud with me right now? So she grabbed my hands, and here's what I said, just repeat after me. Just repeat after me. He said, yes, 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 of course, yeah. I said, okay, Jesus, I believe that you came from heaven and that you died for my sins. And she just repeats that. I said, okay, Jesus, I turn away from my junk, all my mess, all my sin, and I give my life to you, and I ask you to forgive me and make me a new person right now. I say that. She says it. Tears in her eyes. Right there at Dollar General. I wonder what her shift was like afterwards. It's so cool. And we prayed that right there. And then I, of course, invited her here. You know, you got to come to Crown Point. All the other churches, they're just trying to be like Crown Point. No, I'm kidding. Invited her here. So, and it really is that simple. Okay, now maybe you're listening to this and going, yeah, that's because you're an evangelist, Jimmy. Like, you can do that and stuff like that. I don't believe that. There's definitely like a gifting God has given me to be a little crazier than most. I grant that. But the gospel is the power of God. Anybody can do, you can do what I just walked you through. And we're going to end with this. Not only can you do it, it's why you're here. It's why you're here. Genesis to Revelation, it's why you're here. I'll give you two quick ones. Revelation chapter 12, there's this, it talks about how there was war in heaven and the devil was cast down and the angels say, woe are you, for devil's been thrown down and he's mad. But here's what they also say. It says about you and me. It says, but they overcame him, you and me, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. It's God's only plan for us to be the ones who are unleashing heaven on earth. You're not, this is going to ruffle some feathers. But hear me, don't walk out. You are not supposed to be spending your 80, 90, whatever years here on earth building a life for yourself. Amen. That's not the point. It's not. Because 80 or 90 years is a blip on the radar screen, not even a blip compared to heaven. And what's going to happen is someday you're going to stand before this God who made you in his image. You're going to stand before our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and he's going to hold us accountable to all of the stuff, all the tools that he's given us to do the job. And then, based on how accountable we were, how good we were with it, Jesus lays this all out, by the way, in the parable of the talents. It's awesome. Go read it. But based on how, what we did with it, then he's going to say, okay, here's your reward. Do you see what I'm saying? I fear that there are a whole lot of us that are going to fall into the category that the word says, where it's like we got into heaven as if by escaping the fire, the flames. And we're going to enter into heaven and we're going to see all that we could have had for eternity, but we don't get it. We can't have it because we were focused on 80 to 90 years. Guys, I'm telling you, if you in heaven could come back and talk to you right now, you would be going, go for it! You would be going, the reward is so worth it. It's awesome. Because that's the whole point. Let's pray. First thing I want to do is I want to ask you, I'm going to do to you what I just read to you. You ready for this? There are some people in this room, a lot of people in this room today, I don't know you, I've never met you, but I know I have this in common with you. I've messed up. Maybe worse than you have. Trust me, I got some junk in my trunk, bro, sis. I've done some bad stuff. Some stuff I don't want to repeat. It's true. I know I have that in common with you. And here's the other thing I know. I know when we've messed up, it doesn't feel right. And this is the reason why. It's because there really is a God. There really is a dad who made you. And you're made like him. He loves you so much. And when you do those things that it doesn't make sense, and you know that it's bad because it doesn't fit, it's not for you. But you and I, we're not perfect. We don't forgive perfectly. And God knows that, and he loves you. So what he did was while you were messing up, he came down from heaven to you. That's who Jesus is, to forgive you perfectly. Do you want that? If you're here in this room right now and you want that, would you just slip a hand up? Yeah, come on. Yep. Anybody else? Hands all over the room. Hands all over the room. Yep. Anyone else? Come on. Yes. 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 I love you so much. He loves you so much. He loves you so much. So here's what we're going to do. God says that there's power in saying it out loud. So I want you to repeat after me. You ready? Okay. Jesus? Yes. I believe that you came from heaven to forgive me perfectly. I walk away from all of my junk. I turn from sin and death. And I ask you to save me. And I give you my life. You tell me where to go. That's where I'll go. You tell me who I am. That's who I'll be. You tell me what's true. That's what I believe. Amen. Woo! Did somebody pray that? Yes. Yes. Now here's the last thing about that. Then what I'll do is I'll pray for them to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Because here's what God does. When you give your life to him, he comes and he lives in you by the power of his Holy Spirit. And he starts to make you different. It's going to get weird. The best kind of weird. But it's going to get weird. Man, when I first got saved, my first phone call was this girlfriend I was dating. I was like, babe, we got to stop messing around doing physical stuff. She's like, why? Because Jesus just done walked into my apartment last night. I'm doing wrong by you. She's like, what? It's like, yes. It's going to get weird. He's going to come into your life. He's going to show you things that you didn't even know were bad that you were doing because he's pulling that junk off of you and he's making you somebody awesome. He's making you who you're meant to be. Okay? All right. It's going to happen. So let's pray. Ready? Holy Spirit, we need you. We needed you at the beginning of this message and we need you so much right now. I ask that especially those who raised their hand this morning, that you would baptize them in your power, that you'd fill them, Holy Spirit, that you'd give them what they need to be totally faithful to you, to become completely new people every day of their life. Keep them, keep them, keep them, keep them. You're able. Amen. All right, then the last one is this. I promise we'll get out of here. Forgive me, Dennis. Last one is this. If you've given your life to Jesus, and while I was talking about heaven and kind of you looking down from heaven and saying, okay, if that's you and you feel a little something in your spirit saying, man, I can do better. I can do better. Okay. Yes, you can. So can I. So can I. When it comes to sharing the gospel, we've all biffed it. We have. We've all missed opportunities. We've all missed opportunities. We've all not done things we could have done. Hindsight's 20/20, and hindsight will kick you in the face. Okay? We're all in the same boat. I'm in the same boat with you guys. So, but what I want to ask the Holy Spirit for before we leave is to fill you with power so that the next time you come across an opportunity, you'll remember this. Maybe you'll remember these scriptures, and you'll have a boldness that you never had before. I believe he can impart that to you right now. Do you want that? Slip a hand up if you want that. If you want some impartation, you want some power. Okay. Wow, you guys are awesome. I might just get saved on my way out of here. You guys are awesome. Okay, so let's pray for that. Is that cool? All right, let's pray. Holy Spirit, these folks need you. We need you. And I ask that you would give us power. We can't do it without you. We don't even want to try. And so I ask that every hand raised, that you would give them power. Holy Spirit, that you'd give them power right now. And that next time you give them an opportunity, they'd have a boldness. It would rise up. You would rise up. They'd have power and authority. They'd want to pray for the sick and see them healed. They want to pray for the dead and see them come back to life. They want to pray for the people oppressed of demons and see them set free. But power would come on them. And Lord, I pray that they'd open their mouths and share the good news. Share what we just read from your scriptures. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. I love you guys.
Thank you.
Come on up here, Dennis.
Isn't he fun? How do you just not love this guy? Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I'm going to add one little thing, and that is those of you who became believers, and for the rest of us, that is why we do like our Wednesday classes. We have Ironman men's group on Tuesday to get more prepared so you can, you know, be bold like this. Brother, you are so fun. I just love you, man. All right. So when you get ready to head out of here, do not forget this stuff. And like you said, it is for all of us. You may not be Jimmy, All right, he is one in a million. You got lucky, but he also did. I get that. You guys were lucky to find each other, but God uses you as you, where you are. And you are places Jimmy's not. Now, Dollar Tree or whatever. I love it. Love it. So you can do this, and the power of the Holy Spirit will help you do this. So God bless you today, and take advantage. And if you are one of those who raise your hand and you pray that prayer for the first time, let somebody know. This life is not meant to be lived alone. We want to know. We want to celebrate. We want to encourage you. We want to help you. All right? All right. God bless you guys. Would you stand with me? I just want to send you out of here in victory, knowing that you are saved, you are filled with the Holy Spirit, and you're able then to share that with the world. That is the plan. We are the plan. You ready? Okay, as you leave, please make sure and spend some time hugging on Jimmy and Kristen and their kids. And then we are also praying for a big victory. Oh, my Lord. Sorry. Because Casey Wolf is out there and he's being inappropriate. So that's just who he is. So if you guys want to head out, God bless the Chiefs. We can pray that, right? God bless the Chiefs. I pray nobody gets hurt today. I pray they have a great time. I pray we win. And then let's head on out. And if you want, we've got a picture spot out there and you want to meet the Wolf. So God bless you guys. Have a great day.